caution. The Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with international marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
Crowd goes wild with delirious joy. They've joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
Indeed, I'm your host, the one, the only Mark Unger. Joining me, as always, the very lovely and charming Diane Brierley, and of course, the amazing Philip James Unger, heir to the vast Unger fortune. Up to $47 as of today. Woo! Fabulous. Engineering the show, as always, the very talented but eerily creepy Timothy Robert Ray, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during the production of this incomprehensibly boring show. This is the show that handles your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at askask@markgungor.com. Here is how the show works. You can send us an email about anything and remain totally anonymous. We, in turn, are brutally honest. This is the show of brutal honesty. While virtually every show in the world would be very careful and considerate toward your feelings, we don't give 2 cents worth of concern towards anybody's feelings. It's the premise of the show. If you don't like it, don't listen to the show. But for those of you who love it, and we're talking a huge audience, we're talking 13, 14 people at any given moment watching this show. That's how powerful we are. Then you can enjoy the show. Here's the show. If we like what you have to say, this is how we do it. We will celebrate your thinking. If we don't like what you think, we will castigate you. 3 versions of castigation. One is we'll give you a swirly. That's when we stick your head in the toilet, flush it, and let the water swirl around your head and hopefully wake you out of your delusions. If we think you're crazy, you'll get the goat button. And if you blather on with too much information, you get the chicken. You get all 3, you're officially crazy. What have you got there, Mrs. Brierley?
Okay, I found this one, and I know that you really like it when the studies back up what you say. So okay. Finally they're catching
because
up.
Because I'm brilliant.
They're finally catching up to your father, Phil. They're finally catching up.
You know, I've been saying this stuff for decades.
I know, that's why
everybody
I think it's so entertaining.
What do you mean? You got no proof of that? Really, I have a brain. You know, the obvious, just talking to people. But no, it has not been official. But no.
Then the studies come. See, the best
sure
part of
enough.
It is you don't have to do the studies, nor do you have to pay for someone to do the studies. They just do them, and it backs you up. So
yes,
there you go.
I being the great intellectual property that I am. Mm-hmm. Doing these studies. These people are crazy. Anyway, what do you got?
Okay, so apparently women are much less likely to have a sexual climax during casual sex than in committed relationships.
I have said this forever.
Yes, you have.
This is such a joke. Why these women do this? I don't get it. They get together these guys and they have quick sex with them, and the majority of the time they don't even get any sexual satisfaction out of it.
The percentage is actually 40% of women had an orgasm during the recreational sexual encounter. Uh-huh. By contrast, 75% of them, if they were in a committed relationship, reached orgasm.
So 60% of the time, nothing happens for them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're out there throwing themselves around, opening themselves to potentially diseases. Mm-hmm. It's the dumbest thing. You know, that's the thing that fries my Puerto Rican pancakes. You know, Hollywood's version of sex is a joke. It is an absolute pathetic joke. Their version of sex is if you're single and you got the one-night stand and you get to use a condom, whoa, man, is that great sex! And then all the jokes are that married sex, committed sex, is ass.
You're lucky if you get it.
Yeah, which is an absolute lie. Mm-hmm. All the studies show exactly the opposite. In fact, the University of Chicago did a study where they wanted to find out what group of women claim to have the most number of orgasms ever. okay? You would think the young girls out there partying and stuff like that, they rated at the bottom. See, that was another study that backed this up. Mm-hmm. Now this is another version of it. They're not getting jack squat out of this. They're just being used and tossed to the side. These girls are dumb enough to let these idiots use them. So they get jack squat. The ones that shocked everybody, they said the women in America who reported having the best sex were religious women. Okay, isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. In their 30s, who had three or more children. Mm-hmm. The complete opposite of what everybody thinks is such great sex. So Hollywood put, oh yeah, the one night stand is really great. First of all, it's awkward. You don't even know each other. It's stupid.
That women are not feeling free in the casual context to say what they want and need. And quite frankly, these guys don't care.
They don't care what
they're just there to get theirs, and they don't care what she wants. Really don't.
These women are so dumb.
It's just dumb. But the one guy they interviewed did say that the popular cultural depiction of sex don't really depict much reality.
Oh,
at least they're admitting that.
In fact, in Hollywood, if you watch a lot of these shows that, like, these continual, kind of like glorified soap operas, like ER or something like
Grey's
that.
Grey's Anatomy.
They show these people have, I've never seen that.
His latest reference he can.
Yeah, the latest
show that hasn't been on TV for like
that's
10
been on
years.
TV for a long time, friend.
What's a new one?
MASH.
MASH. What's that? Chicago Fire. Okay, that's
Chicago
a new
Fire.
One. Shut up over there. All right, so. See, this is why some people feed their children to animals.
Mm-hmm. Feed the children.
Some people actually feed their children.
You should feed your children. Yeah. I thought they meant feed your children to animals. I was confused about that. Mm-hmm. You mean actually feed them?
Yes, that's
what
you're supposed
to do. Oh, you gotta be clear. Okay. So anyway, a lot of these shows, they watch these people hooking up. Mm-hmm. Okay, and it's hot.
Oh, they always show that.
It is. I mean, the screen's on fire. All right, going crazy. And then they finally have the big, build up when they finally get married, mm-hmm. right? Do you know they virtually never show them in bed after that?
Hardly ever.
They never, almost never. I don't think I've ever seen it, but if they do, I'm sure there's an exception somewhere. But virtually from that point on, you never show them having a sexual encounter anymore. What everything that they say is great sex happens when it's naughty, not supposed to be happening, and then when it is supposed to be happening, then it's lousy like sex, that. And it's just a lie. And then again, this whole idea of a condom, I mean, even for the guys, good Lord.
Yeah, but they don't even show that. They just show them.
No, but I'm saying that's Hollywood's thing. You know, make sure that, you have a condom, and that's the left, everybody have condoms and have one night stands. Oh, that's really great sex. It's such a joke. You don't get to great sex by wrapping your willy in cellophane, for heaven's sakes. The beautiful thing about being married is you don't have to wear a numbing condom. Now, having said that, if you're going to go out there and have sex with a bunch of bimbos, by all means, wear condoms. Wear 5 or 6 of them. Why do I care? But don't confuse yourself into thinking you get... See, that's why you can't get to great sex outside of a committed relationship, like marriage, particularly in marriage. You can't really get to great sex. All the rest of it is a joke. It's artificial, and these people are deceiving themselves. And yet, the culture... Coming out of the movies and television stuff, oh, the great sex are the one-night stands and all the stuff. And every study shows it's an absolute joke. It is a proven lie. Anyway, what a shock. Hollywood not telling the truth. Gee, I'm wounded. I'd expected nothing but truth from these people. They're morons. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Want more of Mark? Visit markgunger.com. There you will find everything that Mark has to offer.
Of Jimmy Bratcher. Check out his music at jimmybratcher.com. You are listening to and or watching the Mark Gunger Show. Mark Gunger along with Phil Gunger and Diane Brierley, also known to millions as the Queen of Mariachi.
You're such a weirdo.
Hey, don't go all Spanish on him. Can't just start throwing O's on the end of words.
Oh, yeah.
Weirdo.
Weirdo. Must be Spanish.
Weirdo. You guys. At least I knew the name of it. You, Mr. Latin descent, does not.
I was making this sound during the break, which some people would find irritating. I don't know why. Anyway, she said it sounded like a wiro.
Yes.
Which you said is actually the name of that little instrument. That
yes.
Yeah.
And I knew that.
And because you're the queen of mariachi, all your experience in mariachi bands.
Well, I'm not
over
Latin.
The years.
You are. You should have known it. And y'all are in music.
Yeah, I'm here
not.
To try out for the mariachi band. Yeah.
That would be me.
I play the wiro.
We're in Wisconsin.
Hey.
All right, you got there.
Okay.
Crazy.
First email says, can someone truly be a Christian while having depression? I have been struggling with depression most of my life. Once I came to know Christ, it started to get a lot better. However, I still deal with depressive episodes often. Mm-hmm. I'm 20 and single and fear that no Christian would want to deal with me because of my unholy struggle. I know you say if you're miserable.
Unholy.
Well, because the depression would be unholy. Yes. She says, I know you say if you're miserable, stay single. I realize that I don't need a man to make me happy, but I would like to have someone to share my struggles with. Uh-huh. I feel that if it wasn't for the sexual desires, I wouldn't even think about marriage since I realize it's difficult. I often question if I've truly been saved since I struggle with depression. She did say the reason she's worried is because she dated a Christian, and I told him about my depression. He acted as if I were terminally ill and never wanted to speak to me after that. So he apparently had a hard time.
Look, in all fairness, you know, if you have a mental or physical problem, that's fair. It's a fair filter. Someone said, gee, do I want to, you know, marry someone who's in a wheelchair? Okay. Right. If they decide they don't want to go that extra mile, that's not bad, you know, or say, gee, I, you know, coughing people's faces uncontrollably.
Oh, that's lovely.
Hi, I'm Mark.
In fact, you do that quite often. It's annoying.
You know, if you're dating for someone, every time they walk or something, they, you know, they might not want to date you anymore. You know, I mean, that's fair. Yeah. And if you've got a mental thing, that's a thing that you're struggling with and you're letting them know, which I think you should. And if they pull away from that, that's fine. You know, it's, you know, you're only 20, for heaven's sakes. I wouldn't get too depressed. That sounds
terrible. Oh, gosh.
Helps no one.
You didn't just say that.
I don't know why people write me. I wouldn't get upset. Well, she deals with depression. I wouldn't get too depressed at 20, because there's a lot of people that don't have any issues. They haven't found somebody at 20. She doesn't know that she's not going to be able to find somebody.
Yeah.
You know, as for your depression, I don't know anything about it. You know, people often email me stuff as though I know stuff.
I think you know it at all.
Apparently, I look a lot smarter than
Listen,
I am.
Can
friends?
She be a Christian and be depressed?
Sure. Yeah, you can be a Christian and struggle with all kinds of stuff in your life. In fact, most Christians, I've heard, struggle with things. They have issues. I wouldn't know anything about that. Being a man of absolute perfection, who would have an issue looking at me, right? But
well, everybody has an issue looking at you. Trust me.
I mean, who would think I would have?
That's right.
An issue. Yeah. So, of course, sweetheart, of course. You know, you can be a Christian and have all kinds of crazy stuff going on in your life. That's not of, you know, man, if crazy was a filter for whether or not you'd be a Christian, Diane wouldn't stand a chance.
Thank you.
I mean,
I appreciate that.
Are you kidding? Man, I wouldn't make it.
You know, some Christians say if you, you know, anytime you have any problems or stress in your life, it must be because you're in sin or you're not really connected with God, which...
Yeah. Well, you're not really
always
saved, like she suggested.
Jesus had some stress in his life. I've never sweated blood.
Right.
I gotta imagine that's pretty intense stress.
Yeah, I would imagine.
I don't know. Having said that, I mean, there might be an answer for you. You know, a spiritual answer. Mm-hmm. God is a healer. We believe God can heal people, but we also go to doctors. You know, I'd do both. You know, people always make it an either or. Do I trust Jesus or go to a doctor? I say do both. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't put my trust in a doctor. You put your trust in a doctor, you're toast. You realize a lot of these doctors aren't particularly bright. God bless their souls. You know, and a lot of makes mistakes. You know how many people die in hospitals because someone did something stupid? Yep. It's overwhelming. I'll never forget when my wife first had cancer. We went in and the doctor said, well, clearly her cancer's at stage, you know, four, and there's, you know, and I went, because, you know, when you first find out, you go online and you look at it, and everything that they described said it was like stage two. Mm-hmm. And I said, really? Because everything we read said it was stage two. And he goes, really? So I'm not lying. He gets up and he goes gets a book, sits down in front of us and starts flipping through the book and hits a page and goes, oh, yeah, you're right. Are you kidding me?
Stage four is a lot different from stage two and what you do with it and everything.
Good Lord.
What a moron.
I don't know. You know, doc, but God bless him. I mean, you know, he's a smart guy and a skilled guy. Just they don't know everything and they're not perfect.
That's why you have to ask the questions, by the way.
Got to ask the questions and figure stuff out and, you know, doctors. God bless him. My dad was a doctor. There's no slam on doctors. But this idea that it's either or, either I'm going to trust God or I'm going to trust a doctor is absurd. I go to a doctor trusting God. Mm-hmm. Right? That's what I do. All right? And you pray and trust God, the right things will be done. And, you know, so my encouragement to you would, I think God does have an answer for your depression, as anybody's, whether mental or physical sickness, any kind of sickness. I think God does have an answer for you. But take whatever answer you can. Having said all that, her question was, you know, am I doomed to be single because I have this problem? Is that basically what she was?
Well, she wants to know, can Christians suffer from depression? Well,
of course. If that was your question, then the answer, of course, is yes. And, a lot of people are depressed after that answer. See,
and I really am a Christian. I think, at least I think I am.
Yes.
And I suffer from depression when I have to do this show with you all the time. So yes, you can have depression.
Depression is really, have you ever been, I've been.
Yes.
You know, a few times. There's been times where it's just, oh my, it's like you can't breathe.
It's a terrible thing.
It's a horrible thing. It really is. Very and we're laughing because we're sicko insensitive jerks.
I've been there.
But man, you can't breathe. You can hardly get out of bed. It's horrible. And I've gone through for a couple of days and got free of that thing. And I think, man, I really feel compassionate for people who struggle with that constantly. Why they struggle with it, I don't know. You know, ask someone smarter than me. But so, of course, you can be a Christian, have all kinds of problems. I think the vast majority of Christians, all of them have problems. We all have issues. Don't feel that you've been rejected by God because you have a problem. My encouragement is trust God because he answers prayer. He really does. And it's not an either or. He might use all kinds of stuff to answer your prayer. It might just miraculously set you free and you don't have to go to any doctor. It might be because going to a doctor. I mean, I don't know. Whatever it is, you know, trust God. So we'll take a break. We'll be back with your next email right after this.
Mark Gunger. Yeah, we've got an app for that. Download your free Mark Gunger app today.
You say you fear. I'll change. We're back. Mark Gunger Show, answering your emails about love, marriage, and relationship. What do you got next?
Okay, he says, we live relatively close to my wife's family. The wife's mom and dad are divorced and are living in partner relationships. Like many people, this is in Australia. We're doing all we can to love on them and be non-judgmental.
They're not married. Just granny shacking up with some dude.
Right, right. Granny shacking up with some dude.
It's a slutty granny show.
It is a slutty granny show.
All right.
Mm-hmm. But the mother-in-law keeps insisting on having our son over for sleepovers. My wife and I don't want our son exposed to the partner lifestyle that she was apparently exposed to growing up. Do they continue making excuses or just tell them that they don't want that life for our kids and start World War III? What do they do?
You know, I'm not going to be very helpful on this one. It depends on so many circumstances.
Two for two.
Can't two answer bad anything answers. Today. Let's see, is there anything that I can get an answer on?
Here's the thing. There are some people who do things highly immoral that I'm very nice to and, you know, blah, 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 because you're trying to affect them in a positive way. Then there's people who, Christians in particular, who should know better and are doing something very bad. In that case, the Bible says, you know, don't even have lunch with them. Mm-hmm. You know, you see two versions of it. So I don't know the details.
They say
is mom a Christian?
It says mother goes between Christianity and a spiritual belief in goodness, and the partner is an unbeliever.
Yeah, if she's claiming to be a Christian, I would make the point, not out of meanness and stuff, say, look, what you're doing is wrong. Mom, you know it's wrong. And we don't want the kids exposed to that. That's the stand I would take. If I had an unbelieving mom who was clueless and didn't know nothing about Jesus and she's doing that, I would take a completely different tact. Mm-hmm. I know it sounds totally inconsistent, and mm-hmm. people who've listened to me talk about this get very confused. It really depends on where they're coming from. Mm-hmm. It's like this show. If you write me and you're a non-Christian and doing all kinds of stupid stuff, I almost never yell at non-Christians. I don't know of any time I've ever railed on some non-Christian. You know, because they're non-Christians. They're not claiming to live by anything. I'll give them my advice and stuff like that. What ticks me off are people who claim to be Christians, who live by the Bible, and then live like hell and live in some complete hypocritical opposite life. That ticks me off, and I yell at them. And there's a biblical precedent for that. You know, they were very tough on, you know, that's where you got the concept of shunning and stuff, shunning people. You know, kick them out of the family. Paul more than once talked about turning someone over for to Satan. He talked about it in 2 Corinthians, he talked about both times, actually. And when he wrote to Timothy, you know, so-and-so, I turn him over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh. I mean, here's a guy who, if you were a Christian and started doing stuff really bad, man, they wouldn't just pray for you, oh, God, bless him and help him. They pray for you and say, God, turn him over to the devil. I mean, when you got people praying for you, that you get turned over to Satan, that's a bad day for you, okay? There wasn't always this. See, and people don't, they think all Christianity is always just as warm and fuzzy. There's a tough butt-kicking side of this deal. When you know better, you know how to do right and you don't do it, then you get the butt-kicking version of this. If you don't know any different, then you don't give them that. So that's literally, if she is in fact a Christian who's gone wayward and going on a psycho crazy, yeah, I'd take a really tough stand. And I would say no. Say, we'll start World War III. What are they going to do? They're coming with guns and shoot you, for heaven's sakes. They're going to be upset. That's what happens. The point is, by taking someone who claims to be a Christian and shunning them and shaming them, God forbid, because so many Christians don't believe in shame anymore, it's supposed to cause godly sorrow that brings repentance. Mm-hmm. Because it's hard to bring godly sorrow in a lot of churches today because they don't believe in any kind of sorrow.
You know, and they think you're not supposed to be judging them, and so they get mad and think that you're the bad person because you're judging them.
They don't even know what that means. Of course you're supposed to judge stuff. They don't understand what Jesus meant when he said that. So anyway, the point is, if she is, you got some relatives, friends, whatever, neighbors and stuff who don't know Jesus and are living just all kinds of anti-biblical lifestyles, you know what you should do? Be really kind to them. Love them. Reach out to them. Be as respectful as you can to them. Hopefully, they'll be interested in your life and you get a chance to share the good news about your faith. If you got someone who is a claiming Christian, in fact, is a Christian and knows better and then lives the opposite, then you take the exact opposite tack. And a lot of people just have a hard time understanding that. So if you're having a hard time understanding that, go talk to your pastor. What do you care what I think? All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with more of your emails right after this.
Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience.
In the dead of night, was the day I started.
Oh, bless you.
Had a hold off that sneeze. I couldn't do it. It's music of Michael O'Brien. Check out his music at michaelo.org. You're listening to the Mark Unger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationship, answering your emails about said subjects or whatever subjects you got. What do you got?
Okay, she says, this is kind of funny. I never heard this one before. My question is, why does my man hate that I talk about our sex life with my best friend and even with my family? He explicitly asked me not to share about it with them because it's something too personal and I just don't get it. Is there something wrong if I really love talking about my love for him with my best friend? What could I do? How can I make him change his mind? She said, it makes me so, with all these O's, happy to share about how nice he is when she talks to her best friend. They've only been married for 5 months. She says she's 20 and he's 24.
She may not make it for another 5. The rate she's going. Come here, sweetheart. I want you to come here and I want you to kneel down and we're going to shove your head in the toilet and give you a swirly. Goodness gracious. If your husband is saying, please don't talk to people about our sex life.
Quick, write a TV show.
You stop. You stop. You don't write some nitwit like me and say, how do I get him to change his mind? What a man. I wonder if they're even still married. It takes a few months for us to get some of these emails.
Sometimes. Let me see how long ago this one actually
good
came
grief
in. That is just
shame on you.
Yeah, it's been quite a while.
Good grief. No consideration. No consideration. Someone asks you. You're supposed to love this person. Mm-hmm. And the person asks. You know, my wife has asked me not to mention some things.
People, Mr. Big Mouth.
People say, doesn't your wife get mad at you about stuff you talk about in your seminars? No, those have been removed.
Because, yeah, she did.
The ones that remain are the ones that's okay with her. If she says, hey, don't talk about that or don't say that about me, or that, done. Mm-hmm. I don't write somebody and say, how do I get her to change her mind? Because it makes me feel so good to do it. Mm-hmm. Could you be any more selfish? So that's the problem with people. They're so puking selfish. Oh, honestly. Next email.
She likes to talk about
their sex life to her friend and the family. There's a conversation you want to have at Thanksgiving dinner.
So, guys, last night, John and I got to tell you.
I think it's odd. I can't imagine that I would have those conversations.
Who does that?
I don't know. I mean, you hear stories tell of guys who are braggarts about their conquests and things like that, but not in the context
not
of
not to
being
women
married.
They care about.
No. That's what I'm saying.
These guys are out there, pigs are out there.
But when you're married and I don't know. Isn't there an episode of Everybody Loves Raymond where he does that? He says something about how wild Deborah got, and then all these guys start treating her differently, and she gets so mad about it? I think I have seen that
one. This is awful. Forget even the point. It has nothing to do with sex. As twisted as that is. Who discusses
it could be anything.
With the family? Yes. It's just that if someone you love asks you, pleads with you, please don't do this, and you do it anyway, you are what we call officially a jerk.
Don't do this, and they do it anyway.
Good night. All right, what else you got?
Okay, this one says, my 9-year marriage has come to an end due to my husband's infidelity. I need your advice in regards to improving my self-esteem and moving forward. 2 months ago, I learned my marriage was over and that he'd been having an affair for months, and he didn't want to work on salvaging the relationship. Mm-hmm. I think that I was dying inside from the abuse and that my self-esteem was very, very low. I know that in the long run, I'll be happier and healthier without him.
There's abuse on the side?
She says verbally, he abused her verbally on a regular basis. I'll be happier and healthier without him, but I could use some kind words of advice for picking myself up and carrying on to a better life.
The best words of advice, first of all, again, apparently I look a lot smarter than I am. I don't know anything about self-esteem building or any of the sort. I will say this, that what you're experiencing is probably temporary.
If it's only 2 months ago you found that out, that's
what I'm saying. I mean,
pretty hard blow.
You know, if I found out my wife has been having sex with other men, yeah, I think I'd have a real blow to my self-esteem, too, you know. But that's normal. So if you're struggling with self-esteem, it's probably normal. You get concerned when things are not normal. For example, if I go over here and I break, you know, Diane's arm. In fact, should we do that right now, just as an example?
I think
illustrated sermon.
Illustrated sermon.
Here you go.
Look at the pain that she's in.
Okay, let's say we don't break it. Let's just say we
punch her really hard.
We punch her really hard in the arm, okay? Just out of an illustrated sermon. Real hard in the arm, okay? Chances are tomorrow her arm will be sore, but she'll know why. It makes sense. Oh, man. Or anything that you do, you know? You know, you're out and you're exerting too hard, and the next day your muscles are real sore. Like, you ever do cross country skiing? Have you ever done that?
Yes, I have.
You ever do that, Phil?
I have.
Yeah, it's like a Nazi torture thing. You know, it's a horrible, horrible thing.
It's good exercise for you, though.
That's what makes it horrible. Uh-huh. Use all these muscles that you never thought you had. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget the first time we went and just let's take the long trail. So the next morning, I'm telling you, you know, the sun's rising up, and I can't move. And Debbie can't move. And we thought, oh my, and we started laughing so hard because we were in such pain. And the more you laugh, the more it hurt because we really overdid it, okay? Mm-hmm. And this is probably, you know, I don't know, late 30s because you still think you're 18. Yeah. So now, as that is an example, we'll get away from beating you up, okay? If I wake up and I can barely move and I don't know why, if there's no reason at all, if there is absolutely no explanation to why every muscle in my body is screaming and I can barely sit up, that's frightening. That's really frightening. Now you're going to a doctor. Now there's something really wrong with you. But when you know why you hurt, well, then you sit there and giggle because causing more pain because you know what? I overdid it.
Yes.
Okay? You don't go to the doctor. Now, it's the exact same pain, exact same misery. Except.
But there's a reason
for it. When you know the reason, then you're okay. When you wake up in your horrible pain and you have absolutely no idea, and that's frightening. You could have some weird disease or something that's trying to kill you. So that's the thing. So if you are suffering today because of a low lack of self-esteem, because you find out your husband was unfaithful to you, your abusive husband was unfaithful to you and kicked you to the curb after promising that he'd spend the rest of your life with you, and you feel in emotional pain, that's normal. Mm-hmm. The good news is you heal from normal, right?
Yes.
Okay. If you don't heal, then something's abnormal. Then you can go get some help. So my encouragement to you is, hang in there. It could take quite a while. You know, mm-hmm. That's a very painful thing. That's why God said don't do that.
And get counseling, get some help, do what you need to, get in a group to move on.
Yeah, there's a reason God said don't commit adultery. It's very damaging. It's very hurtful to people.
Yeah.
And this could be extremely painful, something that you might struggle with for a while, but at least you know why. When you know the why and you have a normal response to bad input, that's normal. Even though you're in pain, it's normal. What would be abnormal is if I did break Diane's arm and she's just flailing around and it never bothered her.
Yeah. What?
Flipping her.
All those painkillers she's on to get through the show.
That's right.
And she's just flipping. Wow, look at her arm do that. It bends in three or four places. Look at this, guys.
That would be abnormal.
That would be highly abnormal.
Yeah, for her not to have some sort of reaction to this
would be abnormal. That's
if she just rolled with this and went, oh, I'm good.
And there's a lot of people right now that you are suffering terribly because of unfaithfulness or something in your life, and you think there's something wrong. There's not anything wrong with you. That's normal. When you break something, you're supposed to hurt. When somebody hurts you, you're supposed to feel pain. That's normal. So don't feel badly about yourself that you're probably acting very normal. The good news is people tend to heal, okay? And do everything you can to heal and give yourself time. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Attend Mark's Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage event. Visit laughyourway.com for upcoming dates and locations.
My love, marriage, and relationships. Mark Gunger. Love, marriage, and
what?
Love, marriage, and relationships.
How long you been in puberty there?
I'm a professional broadcaster.
Oh my goodness!
I got a voice like Mickey Mouse. Hello, everybody. Mm-hmm. Welcome back to the show. What do you got?
This is a guy writing. Apparently, it's coming from the Romanian culture, but in America.
Romanian. You know, my book, Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, has just been released in Romanian.
Really?
Yes, I got copies in my office. Hmm. I have no idea.
I think I saw those.
I don't know where you buy it. I have no idea.
Romania?
Probably
in Czechoslovakia. No, in Romania. I suppose somewhere.
Yes.
Somebody.
It's available somewhere.
And Mandarin Chinese.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mandarin I get because there's like a bazillion people who speak Chinese. I don't know how many people speak Romanian. I suppose just the people in Romania. Anyway.
Well, this is Romanians living in America.
So check it out. I don't know where you go.
Did you just call them Romains?
Romains. The Romains in
Romaine
America?
Lettuce?
What's their...
I love their lettuce. All right, go ahead.
Okay, anyway, he wants to know, should a pastor be paid?
Is that Spanish for Romans?
Romaine.
Oh, wait, no, that'd be, yeah, it kind of sounds Spanish.
Should a pastor be paid?
Yes, we should be paid lots and lots of money.
In their culture. The biblical reference used to say that they should not be paid is in John 10, where it says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons and runs away.
That is not a reference of pastors being paid. Nimrod.
It says the man runs away because he's hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. So the claim is that if a pastor is paid, he is then the hired hand and he will not care for the sheep.
He's wrong.
That's their extrapolation on that.
I don't know if he thinks
that or if that's what people are saying and he's countering it. I'm not sure. So I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt.
Paul wrote to Timothy, said that those who are elders are worthy of double honor. The context is pay. In other words, not only should you get paid, you should get paid double what anybody else is getting paid. Especially, he says, those whose work is in the ministry of the word. So I don't know what delusional world you're referencing to. How about read, instead of reading some obscure passages that you're trying to connect dots, how about read some scriptures that actually talk about being paid in Timothy, and yes, a pastor.
Are you saying if you get paid, then you don't care anymore?
That's it.
Like if you're
and then there's a, look, I, you know, a lot of times I volunteer at my church and years ago without a salary.
I always tell.
So you can
I tell our volunteers paid. It doesn't really pay to volunteer.
It doesn't pay to volunteer, that's the thing. So if you get paid, you don't care. I don't think that's
true. That's not true. I think that you can care a lot that you're willing to do it without any pay.
Yeah. Diane gets paid and she doesn't care about this show.
Case in point.
Whoops.
Case in point.
Whoops.
She wouldn't care if she didn't get paid, though, people.
She would. You know, actually, she probably
she'd
wouldn't.
Care less.
No, I've always told you. I would work for you for nothing if I had
yours
to.
Are about
I'm
close,
pretty close.
You're close to...
I'm pretty close.
Pretty close to nothing as we can
But I would.
Get.
I'd go get another job and work for you as long as I could.
I know, you're a sweetheart.
I told you that but, because it's not about the money for me. And he knows that. That's why he doesn't pay.
The satisfaction of
it is
torturing
not.
You.
It's too.
It is not. So the idea that somehow a pastor should not get paid is absurd. What are they supposed to do? Starve? Now, a lot of pastors have other incomes. That's what I do. Yeah. So I try not to have to take pay from the church if at all possible. Not always possible. Depends on how
well, a lot of people, and not even Romanian culture, American culture, have a hard time with pastors who get paid. And they do. They just think that they should live like this vow of poverty and that they shouldn't have this. And that if you really are a pastor and you care about people, it shouldn't be about money. They really do think that. And they don't like pastors who do well or make money.
Yeah. Some of them do really, really super well, but they intentionally do so. They really believe. I mean, again, it just has to do with your value system, what you believe. There's some pastors who really believe God wants everybody to be rich, and if you're really walking in faith, you'll be rich. And you talk to these guys, they get paid a lot of money, and their houses are like, yo, mom, my house isn't a yo mama house. Mm-hmm. I got a nice little house, but it's not a yo mama house. A lot of the pastors that I visit around the world have houses way bigger than me. I'd be embarrassed to have these guys come to my house. But, you know, I don't criticize them for it. They really believe that's the right thing to do. If you really believe that you should never pay a pastor, then get some guy who works for free. You know, I mean, we can't fix what everybody believes. I don't know what we can do about it. You're asking what I think. The show's about what I think. Should a pastor get paid? Yes. Your reference that says that people should not get paid is absurd. That is not a reference about pastors getting paid. You know what you're talking about. If you look at what the Bible actually says about people getting paid, it says you should pay your pastor. You should be worthy of double honor. You can argue about what that means. But if you don't think he should, then don't pay him. Why do I care? I probably won't be your pastor. anyway.
He won't volunteer for you.
You know. What do you got? Anything else? Should we take a break?
I
got nothing else to say. What do you
want
to say? Let's take a break and we'll be back with another email right after this.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to ask@markgunger.com and Mark can answer them during one of our shows.
We're back. Mark Gunger Show, answering your emails about love, marriage, relationships, and anything else you think I have an answer to. What else you got?
We'll see if you actually have an answer to this one.
Okay.
She says, my husband is in the military. We've been married 11 years. After his first deployment, I discovered he'd been looking at porn, and after a long discussion, he swore to me it would never happen again.
All right.
Then it happened again during deployment number two, then when I was pregnant with our first baby. And then again, when I found out we were pregnant with our second child, I walked out the door, and that's when he said the porn addiction was really over.
So she forced the issue.
Yes.
Which is what I advocate.
And he said that it was over.
So these women say, what can I say to make him stop? There's nothing you can say to make him stop. You can give consequences that force him to stop.
She did, and apparently it stopped for a while. Now, over a year ago, I caught him looking at porn on his phone again while the kids and I were even in the same room, which I suppose really upset her.
I presume.
We started marriage counseling, reading Christian advice books on porn, how to repair a marriage. Things have been going well. And then my husband deployed again 2 months ago. Now she's looking into the history of his accounts, and he's been looking at it and watching porn again while he's now deployed. I've confronted it about him during our last phone call, and he completely denies it, even though the evidence is right there. What am I supposed to do in this situation? I can't pack up the kids and go to a hotel till he comes to his senses, since he's already on the other side of the world. On one hand, I feel like I have to tiptoe around the subject due to the nature of his job, but I just can't let this go. How, as a spouse of a deployed soldier, am I supposed to deal with this situation? He won't be home for another 7 months.
Well, you're already dealing with it. You're confronting him. He's denying it. You say you have proof. You know, sometimes you got to wait till he comes home and deal with it then. Sometimes you get in a situation where you can't deal with stuff. That's literally what she's saying.
You just have to wait.
What she's saying is, Mr. Smarty Pants, what I do now, because he's deployed. Well, you can't do anything. Wait till he comes home. Then you can deal with it. You know how to deal with it. You know how to confront him and make the issue and get him to stop. Most of these guys do these things because most women allow them at some level. They don't, you know, they cry, they whine, they bellyache, but they don't really confront. She's confronted him, and he stopped, and then it came up again, and she got him into counseling. I mean, she knows how to force the issue. So she's a smart girl. She's a good girl. He's off to Bonga Bonga Land, and, you know, you got evidence. He's saying he's not doing it. You confronting him, I would keep confronting him if you keep showing evidence. I just keep saying, Bob, when you get back, we're going to have some serious talking, because I see you're still doing it. No, I'm not. Well, somebody is. Who do you think's doing it, Bob? Well, I don't know. Okay, well, you better not be doing it. You know, just talk to him, but don't be harsh and mean. Life's hard enough. He's deployed. God bless him. Thank him for his service, and you as well. But, you know, just wait. He'll come home, you know?
And deal with it then.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, you find out a kid's duck in school. The school calls and says, you know, Johnny's not in class. Well, what I do, Pastor? He's not in class. He's not home yet. I don't know. Why should we wait till he comes home? When he comes, there's not a whole lot. You can't do anything until he comes. Well, I guess we can call the cops and try and find him. When he comes home, now you deal with it. So, same kind of deal. All right? Wait for him to come home and then deal with it then. All right?
That's okay, now, in my head, I can hear other women who are watching this. I hear the voices in my head.
There's all kinds of things that you hear in your head.
I hear the voices in my head.
Hello.
A lot of reverb in your head.
A lot of reverb.
It's just empty.
Not empty. Yes.
Actually, I wish it was kind of empty. I have too many voices in my head. Okay, so I hear the voices in my head from women asking. Well, how many times does she have to do this? And she did it once, and she did it a second time, and she did it a third time. And how long do women have to keep putting up with this? And how many times do they have to do that if he keeps looking at porn?
Do you write most of these yourself? Are these all from different voices in your head?
The voices are in my head. They are. I'm hearing the voices. Around you two all the time.
Because they say, yeah, here's the thing. Most women, they might confront him once. And then if he does, here's the story. I say these women need to confront these guys in the strongest of terms. Whatever the horrible behavior is that you don't want to find appropriate, or that you find inappropriate and stuff. I promise you, the women who have great marriages don't put up with this nonsense. You girls who have lousy marriages, you put up with it to some level. Say, well, I did. I confronted him. What did he do? He said he stopped, okay? And they start doing it. Well, then 20 years later, I confront him again.
Okay,
and
but what if it's not 20 years later? What if it's 2 months later?
Well, you confront him again.
But this is what I'm saying. They don't want to have to, confront him the first time. They think he's
I know
just
it. They'll do
to.
It once. That's why I said 20 years, because they don't want to do it. They let him go away with it for another 5, 6, 7, 8 years,
and, so
and then they confront him again, and they'll do another, and then they'll go, Pastor, that doesn't work. What are you talking about? The minute he does it again, you confront him immediately.
Yeah, like she's done. Okay, so she's done it, and she's done it, and she's done it. But there are women that say, I've done it, and I did it when I was pregnant before, and I did
they
it, did, and this is the fifth time.
They do it one time. And then they wait till it goes on and on and on and on and on. And they'll do it another time. And then it goes on and on and on and on.
If they wait another 100 years, guaranteed, he'll stop.
He'll stop because they'll be dead.
But that's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about like in her case where she's done it and she's done it repeatedly when it's come up. And they'll say, but how many times do I have to keep doing this before I can just, you know, be done with this?
As many times as it takes. Look, even at some point, a dog can be trained.
But they don't
Mike,
want
see,
to.
I don't want to be mean to the lady. She's a nice lady. She's serving our country and stuff.
No, I'm not saying she's thinking that.
No, but I mean, immediately she said, she walked out. Boy, he stopped. Mm-hmm. Then he saw him on the phone in the house, and then they went to counseling. See, what did she do? She didn't walk out again right away. Yep. She didn't really confront him as hard as she should have. See, that I didn't want to get into that. I mean,
oh, sorry, I forced that
issue.
No,
it's just
for
I'm just a reality. If I'm doing this, my wife, there's no tolerating it. And if I say something, then I do it again, immediately stop. I pay a heavy price. I do it again, she's out the door, I gotta beg her to come back. I eventually get the point. These girls, they'll do like one round like this, and the rest of the time then they cry and trying to get him to counseling stuff. I think these guys do it because they can. The women who don't tolerate it are the ones who don't have the problem. It's just the reality of it. How many times you gotta do it? As much as it takes. Even a dog can be trained. See ya!
Bye bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!